Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Bounce. It is good to come in your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. And this is the day the Lord hath made, so let's rejoice and be glad therein. Well, let's start our broadcast today by doing this song for you. Hope you enjoy this one. This one says,
well, crank up the music and let's have church. Let's forget about our cares and put Jesus first. We'll clap our hands and testify about God's mighty word. Crank up the music. Let's have church. Well, old David said to clap your hands and shout the loud voice. Every time we come to church, we've got to make that choice. You know, sometimes we sit in our seats while we act like we're half asleep. We never stand to our feet and praise the Lord and show Him that we're having church. Break out the music. Why, let's have church. Let's forget about our cares and put Jesus first. We'll clap our hands and testify about God's mighty works. Crank out the music. Let's have church. In those old camp meeting days when I was but a child, the music would start playing. We would step out in the aisle. We would drink from the living water until we quenched our thirst. Crank out the music, and we'd have church. Well, crank up the music, let's have church. Let's forget about our cares and put Jesus first. Let's sing and pray and testify, talk about His mighty words. Crank up the music, while let's have church. I'm tired of hearing people scream at that old football game. Then they come to church, they sit real quiet, they never praise His name. If you feel the way I do, why don't you get up out of your seat? Let the Spirit move your head down to the bottom of your feet. Let out the music while let's have church. Let's forget about our cares, put Jesus first. Let's clap our hands and testify about God's mighty words. Break out the music. Let's have church. Well, crank up the music.
Well, let's crank up the music and let's have church. Well, I thank you this morning for tuning my way. I'm enjoying doing the broadcast for you today. I want to remember Ed and Mary Jo Ballinger. You haven't heard from them, but anyhow, I understood she was in the hospital. I hope she's out now and doing real well. Then Doris Neely. I want to remember her. And let's also remember Martha in our prayers and remember me. And we've got many people out there that needs our prayers, so let's touch the throne of God for them, okay? Let's go right now listen to this song, and this one says, something got a hold of me.
When I first heard of some people who claim this old-time religion is real, I said, I'll go down, take a look at the crowd. It's just the weak-minded they feel. Oh, but something got a hold of me. Yes, something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but I tell you that night, God certainly got a hold of me. Well, I walked up the steps, I looked through the door. The devil said, don't you go in. I said, it won't hurt me, I'll just step inside. But I'll sit as far back as I can. Well, the preacher just then, his sermon began. He looked right straight down at me. He told everybody how mean I had been. Didn't talk like he thought much of me. Well, just about then someone started to shout, He said that he knew he was saved. All plainly could see with no reason nor doubt, salvation to him had been given. Well, I said when I went, I can't stay there long, I must be home by 12. I fell to my knees and the fiery came down. Too late I got the feeling to find. Oh, but something got a hold on me. Yes, something got a hold on me. Well, I went there to fight, but I tell you that night, God certainly got a hold on me.
Well, yes, sir, something got a hold of me. That's an old, old song. But I like doing the old songs. I like doing the songs that's got a message in it. And that song certainly has a message in it. Well, I appreciate you this morning. I thank you for tuning my way. I will be at Red Sulphur this morning. I appreciate their help and support on the broadcast. And then I appreciate Dana and Daryl Olson, my website servers. They sent me a good offering on the broadcast, and that's really going to help us out. And you can pull us up on any internet, on your cell phone or any internet. You can pull us up by simply typing in stbi.org. Again, that's stbi.org. And you can pull up Tommy Mount's radio ministry, and you can get all the sermons and the camp meeting songs and all that. I appreciate Daryl and Dana doing that. They taking on their own self to do that, and I appreciate that. That's a great ministry. It reaches around the whole entire world, really, and I really appreciate their labor and support on that. And I appreciate their offering this week also. Let's go now and listen to Martha. Says, "It sure sounds like angels to me."
Who put the tears in the eyes?
Martha doing? Who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb? I'm sorry, I thought it was going to be, it sounds like angels to me, but I'll tell you, she sounds like an angel, doesn't she? I'm really concerned about her. She's not doing any well at all, so you continue to pray for her and lift her up. I think that God has got a purpose for leaving her here, and I think her purpose is, well, blessing other people. She's just a blessing to everyone over there, and every time I go over there, she's always blessing those girls somehow or another. She just kind of reaches out to them, and they reach back to her. So you continue to pray for her. Let's go right now and listen to this song, and then I'm coming back with today's message.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know just what you'd see. A miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. An old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved and forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved, I'm forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in
freedom. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. No wonder the Bible said that obedience is much better than sacrifice. The art of obeying. That's exactly what is found here in Hebrews 11 chapter. If you read this chapter of great men of God, they were men of faith, but they obeyed God. Notice here the Bible said that Noah, when God said to Noah, "Noah, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth." The Bible said, being warned of God, he moved with fear. He believed and obeyed God. He moved with fear. But this morning we want to stop to think for just a moment about the tragedy if he hadn't obeyed God. And you know, I asked my boy, I said, "Son, what would you have done if he didn't do what you told him to do?" Well, he said, "I would have scolded him." And he's got a little keen switch. My daddy was the best of training dogs that ever was. He did it with a little keen switch. He found out it worked on me, now he's trying it on dogs. I mean, well, anyhow. But anyhow, I went to, and the story comes to me. I went to Ohio one time. My daddy had a little bulldog. And he always bragged on how he could train dogs. And he had the little bulldog, and he lived about three steps down to the street. And we were out in the yard, and I told Buster, his name was Buster, I said, "Come on, Buster, out here in the yard." That dog wouldn't come off that porch at all. And my dad finally told me, he said, "He ain't coming off that porch." And I said, "Well, you want to bet?" You know, that's one of the old statements we make. And I said, "I'll bet I can get him off that porch." He said, "I bet you can." And I stood there and I hollered for that dog and I hollered for that dog. He never would come off that porch. My daddy trained that dog with a little keen switch. And every time he'd go down them steps, he'd take that little keen switch and wrap across his leg and back up on that porch he went. And that dog grew up like that. And he said, "I either train him like that, he's going to get killed with a car. If he comes down the steps, runs out in the road, he'll get killed with a car." He said, "This way he won't get killed with a car." Well, my daddy, God bless his heart, he moved out to another house, and it was on level ground. Guess what happened? That dog ran out of the front porch, ran out in the road, and got killed with a car. And I said to my boy, I said, "Son, what would you have done had he not obeyed you?" He said, "Well, I'd have probably done like Grandpa Mounts did. I'd have took my little keen switch and I'd have wrapped him across the legs." But this morning, that's dog talk, but we want to talk human talk. What about obeying God? How about when Noah, all of a sudden God said, "Noah, I have seen the sin, I have seen the wickedness of the nation, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. But Noah, before I do that, I want you to prepare an ark for the saving of your family." And folks, this morning, you think as mothers and daddies, and I'm going to talk to you while you're here. Mamas and daddies, are you preparing your children for the future? Are you bringing them up in the fear and the admonition of God? Are you teaching them about God? Are you telling them that there is something ahead? A lot of people do not realize that our children are very important while they're at home. You need to train them. You need to teach them. Who was it said something to me the other day? And I know that it is a great concern, and I'm not going to mention the name. The person will know what I'm talking about. Right out in the vestibule, we were talking about going away to college, and our young boys and young girls go away to college. But Mama, Daddy, it's very important that you teach them about the things of God. Because when they get in college and they get away from home, they will not forget that they have been taught with a godly mother and a godly daddy. I believe that we need to go back and teach our children. You cannot let the pastor teach your children all the time. I preach to them and I preach in different places. But Mama, Daddy, it's up to you. You need to warn those children. You need to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of God. Today, people do not fear God. At Duke University, one of the most chilling things ever happened to me. I was at Duke University, and I respected, and I was very glad to be a student there for 5 years. And it made cold chills run down my spine when I saw a young boy stand in the chapel door of the Duke University. And he threw up his hands, and that crowd was before him, and he said, "There is no God but Satan." That sent chills down my spine. But honey, when you stop to think about it, maybe he wasn't brought up to fear God. I think today that our nation, has forgotten that God is still in control. The altizers may say that God is dead, that God is alive and well. It's America that's dying. It's homes that's dying. It's people that's dying. God is as much alive today as He ever was. And people used to fear God. There used to be a fear of God in the hearts of the people. I had a lady that was in my church, and, you know, then it seemed like a small thing, but as you go on down the years, you begin to look at it. I preached revivals, and I've always been a pastor, a revivalist. And this lady, I came in from a two-week revival, and boy, was I tired. I mean, I was wore out, and this lady was there, but the following Sunday just before that, that I went into revival, she said to me, she said, Tommy, she said, you know, I used to hear you preach, and you preached about the fear of God and how people were going to face a just God, and she said, it literally scared me to death. And she said, I got so that I was afraid when you preached, because she said, the message you preached pricked my heart and my conscience, and I knew that I was going to stand before a just God. And I said, well, what's the problem? She said, I'll tell you. She said, you don't scare me no more. I said, well, I don't intend to scare people. I don't preach a scared religion. I don't preach that to scare people to death and scare them into getting saved. But this woman, I told her, I said, listen, I said, you are in trouble. I came back from a two-week revival and after that. And I told her, I said, if you ever feel that God's tugging at your heart and you feel that fear again, it's not me, it's God that's speaking to your heart. I said, will you move forward? She said, I most certainly will. I came in from the revival, and I told my church, I said, church, I'm tired, I don't feel like preaching. I said, but I'm going to read the Word of God. I turned to Isaiah 53, for He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by whose stripes we are healed. I looked back there, and this girl, I saw tears running down her cheek. And brother, she didn't waste any time, and she found an altar prayer. Now, honey, let me tell you something. I've been called a blood-gory preacher. I've been called a hellfire and brimstone preacher. But if I believe the Word of God, I believe as judgment fell in the days of the Antediluvian time, I believe the judgment of God is going to fall in America's time. I believe it's time that we fear God. Because when God speaks, brother, God means business. He said to Noah, He said, Noah, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. But notice, the Bible said that Noah, and we preach that Noah tried to get the world saved. He did not. The Bible did not say He tried to get the world saved. He said He moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of His family. The most important thing you got may die and go to the devil's hell. I don't know about you, but brother, I don't want my boys to have to face the punishment. I don't want anybody to have to go to that awful place called the place of hell. You remember the young man in hell? What was his prayer? He said, Father Abraham, send somebody. I've got five brothers that's heading in this direction. Hey, if he'd got concerned about those five brothers before he went to hell, maybe they would have not went to hell. We must move with fear. It's very important that our children and our community and our church hears a message that there is an eternal judgment. And it ought to scare us to death to know that we, as people, are going to have to face the judgment of God. It's easy to hang the wreath on the other man's door. It's easy to say it's going to happen to the other person, but when it comes your way, this woman's daddy, old Brother Ed. Oh, I hate Brother Ed left. He thought I was Superman. Yeah, I didn't have a suit on with a big S, but I'll tell you, old Brother Ed thought I was Superman. And I don't say that in boasting and bragging. Seems like all the people that really like me don't stay around me long. The Lord takes them home. I don't understand. Don't get to liking me too well. No, I'm not saying that. But old Brother Ed, I'll tell you the fact, he up in the nurse home, I'd go in, he said, my. He said, they ought to heard that sermon. I can hear him right now, my. He told, hey, when I walked in that place, they thought I was Superman. Because Brother Ed said, man, you ought to hear this man preach, you ought to hear this man sing. Hey, he nearly got my ego up, and I walked in the hospital. Now, I'm not bragging on me. Martha says you got to be careful, people might think you are. But old Brother Ed, I walked in the hospital up where Brother Ed is sick, and then we'll forget it. He thought I was Superman. You remember when he was the very sickest? He looked up at me and I felt so sorry. This elderly gentleman that I like to hear sing that song, Cain and Lynn, is just inside, and the preacher and the bear. And here he is, a grown man, and getting ready to face his maker, and looked up at me and said, Brother Tommy, can you pray this pain away? Oh, I'd love to. I'd have loved to have been able to pray all of his pain away. I'd love to have been able to pray all of his suffering away. But honey, listen, Brother Ed, he was ready to meet God. He had prepared for that great meeting time. You know, the worst thing in the world to do is die without God. It's sad.
Oh, I must be close to that heavenly shore, and the sounds that I hear coming from heaven's door. 'Cause lately I hear a sweet melody, and it sure sounds like angels to me.
And it sure
that heavenly choir, and on Zion's hill we'll be singing so sweet, and it sure sounds like angels to me.
And it
our Father and our God, as we close the broadcast today, we bring the sinner to you, we bring the backslider to you, and we are all preparing to meet our God. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die, but after death, the judgment. Every eye will see him, every knee will bow before him. And Lord, I pray that people will make their call and election sure, that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, neighbor, it's been good to be with you today. I've enjoyed doing the broadcast. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope you continue to pray for all that I've said. Ed and Mary Jo, I haven't heard from them, but I should have called them, but I haven't. But anyhow, Martha, I remember Doris Neely, and Miss Brown, and I got so many people. If I start announcing them now, I'll leave someone out. So be with us in worship service this morning at Red Sulphur, and then I'll be back to Pillar of Truth next Sunday morning preaching. But I'll be back here next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., so you tune us in. I appreciate you, and if you can help us financially, I appreciate that also. Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
So good.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and/or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC 80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.